We had that picture, didn't we, at the start of our service from Acts chapter 2, a lovely picture of the early church, and breaking bread, sharing in the Lord's Supper was very much a part and at the heart of the life that they shared together. And over the years, I've been part of lots of different church traditions. I've been part of the Church of England and been part of the United Reformed Church. I was part of a Methodist church for a short while I was living in Cardiff, and been part of the Baptist church, and I've also worshipped in Pentecostal churches and Roman Catholic churches as well. And I know that God is using all of these different styles of church in different ways, and diversity is a good thing in some aspects, as long as together we are able to declare that Jesus is Saviour and Lord together, if Jesus is at the heart of all that we share together. But if you've been part of any of those different churches, and I'm sure that many of you here have over the time, you will notice that one of the things that is perhaps striking sometimes is the way that communion is shared in different churches. Even the names that we give it. For some, it will be called communion. For others, it will be called Holy Communion. For some, it will be called the Eucharist. Others, the Lord's Supper. And then again, others, it will be to break bread together. All names for essentially the same thing. And some will have real wine, and others will have... some have a special fortified wine that can only be purchased from approved ecclesiastical suppliers. That's what some churches use. But others of us, well, we use grape juice from Sainsbury's. And for some traditions, a special prayer is said. A special prayer is said, and then a bell is rung. And after that, the elements of bread and wine, in their understanding, have actually become the blood and the body of Jesus, and so have to be treated in that way. No pouring the leftovers down the sink, and it's usually the priest who would be left to drink the remaining wine and eat the remaining bread. And, you know, I've got to say that I don't have a problem with any of those ways in which different fellowships share communion together. Just as long as both they and we have taken time to consider what it is that we're sharing. With a Bible open before us, thinking about why and what we do. And yet, it is true, isn't it, that this meal that we'll share a little later in our service has always been at the heart of what the followers of Jesus do and share together. But why? Is it simply a tradition? Sometimes we do things without knowing why we do them, don't we? We were talking earlier where we were setting up about people liking to sit in the same seats that they sit in church. And obviously that's a little more difficult at the moment because all the chairs have been moved around or in different places. But I wonder if you're someone who you like to sit in the same seat that you normally sit in. We don't know why we do things like that, do we? But perhaps it becomes just something that we do. I guess, of course, the danger is that this meal, this communion that we share together just becomes something that we do. We don't think about it. So why do we share in this meal together? Well, we're going to turn to our Bibles, and Steve's going to bring a reading up, just a short reading that will be very familiar words to you, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And we'll share in this reading together. So I'll read the words in the white print, and we say together the words in yellow. So it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, there was already a very significant meal that God's people shared together. Once a year, they would share the Passover meal. And through that meal, they recalled all that God had done for them hundreds of years earlier, when they were freed from slavery in Egypt, when they were led into a new promised land, when they were reminded again of God's faithfulness and God's provision to them. And this was a really significant meal, the Passover meal, because it reminded them that however bad things seemed, God would never give up on them. And they were reminded again that they could trust him in and through all things. And as Jesus gathered with his friends, his followers, in that small room, Jesus was trying to help them to understand that what was about to happen to him would be even more significant than the events of the first Passover. Something was going to happen that would change things forever. Something that was going to happen that would have an impact not on just on the lives of one nation, but would have an impact on all people all around the world for all of history. Because people were going to be set free. Set free, not from the captivity of their slave masters, but set free from the captivity of sin and even death itself. You see, up until this meal, God's people would gather together and remember that a sacrifice had to be made for them. And how an animal, a live animal, would be taken to the temple and sacrificed by the priest. But here, Jesus takes some bread and breaks it. And they take some wine and they share it. And Jesus says to them, "My body is going to be broken like this bread. And my blood will be poured out like this wine. I'm giving all of this up for you. I will become the sacrifice for you." And of course, we know the story, don't we? We know that just hours after sharing that meal, Jesus was taken and was beaten. And Jesus was forced to carry the beam of his own cross through the streets as people laughed and people mocked at him. And we know the story, don't we, that Jesus reached that place of crucifixion outside the boundaries of the city wall. And there Jesus was nailed to a cross, lifted up onto the cross. Nails through his hands, nails through his feet. And we read in the scriptures that it was 9 o'clock in the morning when Jesus was nailed to the cross, but it was noon when darkness covered the land. And after 3 hours, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And he died. And as Jesus broke bread with his friends, he knew that. He knew that he was going to do that for them. And he shared the bread and said, "I'm doing this for you. Remember, this is for you." But of course, this is for us not just a remembering of something that happened a long time ago. We're called to remember what's to come as well. We read it, didn't we, in verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. We know, don't we, that The body of Jesus was taken down from the cross, and they made sure that he was dead by thrusting a spear into his side. And we know that Jesus was laid inside a borrowed tomb. And yet 3 days later, when some of his friends went to care for his body, the tomb was empty. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was alive. And Jesus meets with his friends. He meets with his followers. He shares with them. We've been thinking over these last few weeks of those encounters that Peter and the others had with Jesus on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. And they knew that everything had changed. Nothing was going to be the same again, because Jesus was alive. Jesus was risen. Death had been defeated. And that keeps us from God had been conquered. Jesus was alive and said to his friends, come on, follow me. Live for me in the world. Live the life that God wants for you, day by day. Be the people that you were created to be. And tell others. Share that good news with others. And you know, that's what's carried on ever since. Ever since that time, people have kept on living for Jesus and sharing the good news about him with others. That's how you came to hear it. That's how I came to hear it. Because someone told someone told someone who told you. And you thought and you responded and you received the truth about Jesus in your life. So we're called to proclaim that Jesus, yes, died for us, but he is also the Lord that we can know today. That's what we do, is we share this meal. We remember what Jesus has done. But we also remember what Jesus is doing amongst us in our lives. And we remember what Jesus will do when he returns again. Past, the present, and the future. We thought about that last week, didn't we? A past, the present, and the future, all remembered around this table. I guess we all remember in different ways, though, don't we? We remember the past. Perhaps you can remember a holiday. It's a long time since we've been able to perhaps take a holiday and share in a holiday together. But when we think back and remember a holiday, what do we remember? We remember things like the sunshine. Because the sun always shines when we're on holiday, doesn't it? We always remember the sunshine. Never rains when we're on holiday. Perhaps we remember the good food that we ate, where we stayed. We remember the nice scenery of our holidays. And we remember all those lovely things. But in many ways, the memory of a holiday just stays a memory. It doesn't really change who we are today. Just because the sun shone when we're on holiday doesn't mean the sun's going to shine today. Because we had good food on holiday, it doesn't mean that we're going to have good food today. Memories can be in the past. But when we share this meal together, it's not just remembering something of the past. It's actually remembering that it changes everything for us today. Because of the past. There's a lovely example of that in the Bible, how memories are thought of in a different way. I'm turning to Psalm 77. And it's a psalm where the psalmist speaks about memories. And he's obviously in a desperate place, a difficult situation, the psalmist, here in Psalm 77. It writes this. It says, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, the psalmist writes, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. See, there the psalmist is going through a difficult time. Things are tough. There's problems to be faced. And yet, at the same time, he's able to think back and remember all that God has done in the past. So the memories change the situation for him in the problems and the difficulties that he's facing. Because he knows he can trust God. He knows he can rely on God, even through the difficult times. And so, as we are called to remember as we share in this meal together, it's not just a memory of the past. It's not just a memory of what God has done for us in Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross. It makes a difference for us today as we remember, as we affirm again the truth that Jesus died for us and rose again for us. This is not an empty ritual. It's not just something that we do because we do it. But this is us again putting the truth of Jesus Christ at the center of all that we are, as in our individual lives and in our life together as a church. I can remember once reading about some prisoners who were in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. And they were followers of Jesus. They were Christians. And they wanted to share communion together. But of course, in that situation, they had no bread. They had no wine to share together. So what they did do is they gathered together and shared what they did have. Just a few grains of rice as they remembered the body of Jesus broken for them. And just a sip of stale, stagnant water as they remembered the blood of Jesus poured out for them. And you know, we might ask ourselves the question, well, was that really communion then? They didn't have bread and they didn't have wine. Was it really a proper communion? And there might be some that would say, no, it wasn't a proper communion. But I would want to say I disagree completely. It was absolutely a proper communion. Because they, in that place and in that time, were remembering Jesus and putting him at the center. And as they shared in that memory together, it made a difference for them in their presence, in their reality. And you know, whatever they would face in the future as well, they knew that they had hope because of Jesus. Yes, that stagnant water for them was the finest of wines as they remembered all that Jesus had done for them. And that those few grains of rice that they were able to share filled them to fullness because of Jesus. And they knew that they could trust in him. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we share in this meal today, let's too, yes, remember what Jesus has done for us, but not keep it in the past. How does that change today for us? How are we proclaiming the death of Jesus in our life, the death and resurrection of Jesus? How are we proclaiming it in our lives as individuals and as a church together as we live as his people in the world today? Let's pray. And then we're going to listen to a song. And as we listen to the song, it's an invitation for us to bring our own lives before God. As we think of all that God has done for us in Christ. As we think of our need for a saviour. And God's grace and mercy in giving Jesus for us. Let's pray together before we listen to this song. Loving God, in Jesus, you meet all of our needs. In Jesus, you offer forgiveness. In Jesus, you offer reconciliation. In Jesus, you offer hope. And we thank you, Lord, that you invite us to a table to receive and to share and remember. Lord, would you please help us as we prepare to share communion now? Because we know that there are so many things in our lives that we put in the way of you. Lord, we ask your help. We ask your forgiveness. Help us to see and to know again all that you offer to us and all that you have done for us, and to know your forgiveness and your peace in our lives. Help us to see again, Lord. Amen.
Amen.